Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? Bat and Spider's back with episode 167.
Shit. Wow, Dale, where did you get that? Where did you pull that from?
I as soon as I hit record, wow. I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to change it up this week? Because every week it's the same grind.
Yeah.
It's the same milquetoast sounding voice. Anyway,
before
I had to turn something on.
Before you hit record, you looked like a melting slug. And as soon as you hit record, I saw the skin tighten up and it formed into a Dale-shaped mass and a smile and teeth came out at me. And I said, oh, there's Dale.
You were seriously questioning whether this is going to happen tonight, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't let it sweat. I don't sweat it because that's every week, right? Am I right?
Line them up.
Dale, when you do GIFs of you turning around in your office chair to the camera, are you shooting those live and making a new one every time?
100% every time.
God, yes. Do you have some sort of Apple iPhone app that does it for you?
Giphy, the Giphy app.
Seriously, it's the Giphy app. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can create your own.
You can cut that out if you don't want anyone to know this secret.
Okay.
But you can get the Giphy app. You think they got that for Android?
They must. Well, I don't know if they do, but yeah, they probably do. Come on. God. Probably wants to take over your whole operating system. Not Android. You know?
I mean,
get your eyes.
Only if I give her permission, right? Yeah. I have that power.
Touche. Touche.
I can still feel the glass in my palm, Dale. I know I got it out. But do you ever get that? You got wounded by a little piece of glass and the feeling doesn't go away? Even though you know you got it out, it's like the phantom glass wound.
If you like rub it one way and not the other, it's like...
No.
Oh, I just got the chills. If you're just tuning in, I just got the chills on episode 167. Chuck's palms are covered in glass and blood live on the air.
And it's clapping like a monkey. Mr. Chim
right.
Cham.
Because he can't draw the line between pleasure and pain. He doesn't know that if he stops clapping, the pain will end and the bloodletting will let up.
Pain and happiness equals in between those.
Speaking of pain and happiness, this week for the show, we watched 1981's For Your Height Only, starring Wang Wang.
With an E.
And Rodolfo Boy Garcia.
Who was that?
Mr. Kaiser, which, you remember who that is.
Mr. Kohler? Was he the scientist that was kidnapped? Mr. Kaiser? Is that his name? We're already off to a rocky start.
I'm not answering your question. I don't know. Mess.
Mr. Kaiser,
this week.
I don't fucking know.
We're a mess this week because Hot Ape Summer is over, so we're back to just being us. You know, we're not on.
Yeah.
We're not primate. We don't wear suits and have hair coming out of the end of the sleeves that cover most of our arms. We're not ape-like anymore.
No.
We're human.
The special project is over, and we're back to doing the bare minimum.
Take me away.
Dale, look at this. Look what I have in my hand here. See this?
Wow. Is that a new stack?
It is. It's new old stock. So I went with my lady friend to the local Goodwill this weekend, as we do a lot. And I've had recordable media on the mind, okay?
Okay.
And I saw this stack of 50 CDRWs. Sorry. CD plus RW. Sorry. DVD plus R rewritable media.
Wow.
50. For three.
That's the 7 gig. That's the 7 gig jobber.
Oh.
Right?
No.
R plus.
No, that must be a two-layer one. No, they're 4.7 gigs.
Okay.
Oh, but I think, I don't know. But it's, I don't know. I think there's ones with two layers, but this, I don't think this has two layers, which are double the capacity. Anyway, $299, Dale.
So you figure.
And I said,
why not, right?
I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend the rest of my life backing up all my files onto CDs, Dale. And I started that project today.
Please tell me you didn't.
I did.
No, here's what really happened. Here's what you really, you may said different words, but you said, Melissa, look at this whole spindle of blank media. I'm going to set this on my desk and shove it so hard it'll make room around the crap that's already on my desk.
Okay, that's true.
I'll make room for it. I'll make room for it somehow.
So far, bullseye. Okay.
Right. And where we go from there, Melissa, I don't know, but it'll be there. I'll make room somewhere.
God. She didn't even acknowledge when I held this up to her. I said, hey, honey. Just the eyesight just threw my head to look at something on the shelf behind me.
Right.
Yeah. Who can blame her?
Right. She's probably just like, as long as it stays in your room. She's thinking in the back of her head.
And she's also thinking, I'm running out of room in here. You know?
Yes, that's right. But she's not going to say anything. No. So started backing up files. Chuck, yeah. Seriously?
So
you?
I did. So what I did, I'm not going to back up all my files, but I figure important, okay. Like I'm thinking my comics projects, because all that stuff's digital. I have it on the cloud. I have a backup on a hard drive, but I'm like, but you know, it's still.
But they were only $299.
Whatever. But I don't know. Part of me is just like, this seems like a good idea. All right, and that 4.7 gigs. That's nothing. That's still a lot. You know,
it's a lot of media,
especially when you're dealing. Like I'm dealing with comic book files. They're not that big. You know, so. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So I get home and I go onto the, you know, the Microsoft store that everyone uses to find some burning software. Yeah. So I download one that looks not fishy. It's free. I think there was a paid version, but I think maybe what I found out is the paid version works and the free one doesn't. Everybody. Because I enjoyed three discs, two of them aired out, didn't finish burning.
Oh my God.
And the first one finished, but as it was validating all the media, it found errors. And I'm like, what?
Oh, the fuck.
So what but I didn't give up, Dale, because I don't give up. All right. I plow through.
Sure.
You build a fence, I dig under it.
Right.
I learned that Windows 11 can just burn disks by itself. I don't need to download anything.
Right. Now you have spyware on your computer and you can burn.
Exactly.
Using native Windows.
Yeah. And since these are RW, Dale, you put that disk in, my computer asked me how I want to treat this, like an audio CD, like if I'm going to burn music onto it, or do I want to treat it like a flash drive? And that blew my mind. I didn't even know.
Did it use the words flash drive?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
For dumb people like me or people like me who have only used Windows for the last like 3-4 years, I'm still finding my way around. Wow. You can just drag and drop files onto onto a DVD. It burns it. You can take it out and you can keep adding stuff later. Put it in any Windows computer. It'll work. Yeah. I'm blown away. So anyway.
That's great.
So that worked easy. I burnt two discs right away. No problem. Easy.
Oh, nice. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. I don't know what that other program's problem was.
Yeah. It's probably from a different time before, you know, native OS has put that business out of business.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm not done with aging technology, because the whole thing that started me on this is because I transferred an old videotape to my computer using OBS and like all this crazy connection of a VCR to my computer. It was insane.
Awesome.
But, and I was like, oh, there's got to be a better way. And I realized staring at my VCR DVD player I've had in the garage for many years is that, oh, I can record videotape straight to DVD on this thing.
Whoa.
So I ordered, it said it can only take one media format, which I'll talk about later because I want to get your take on that media format. And then
okay.
The other one, which I was more familiar with, which was DVD-R. It said, yes, I can use that. So I ordered up a spindle of that, I think 10, 20.
Yeah.
I stick it in that DVD player. It says, I don't know what this is. Unrecognized media. I won't even tell you what this disc is because I don't know. I won't even attempt wow. to try and transfer your video, dummy. So,
wow.
So I'm you know, getting more malware, downloading manual PDFs yeah. of this 30-year-old VCR. And I see.
Right at like Tom's manuals.com yeah. or something like
watermarked. Yeah. Tom's face on it.
Yes. Yes.
God. And the week before this, I spent $17 getting a remote for this thing because I was like, I got to have the remote, you know, there's barely any buttons
yeah,
on this thing.
Yeah.
I know there's.
Right.
But the more I use this, Dale, the more I realize I don't need that remote.
Oh.
But it's nice to have. Anyway.
Yeah.
These aren't working. So I go back to that manual and I look at this first format that you can clearly they're trying to push this. And I found, this is a Panasonic machine and it seems to be a mostly Panasonic format. So this is, do you know DVD-RAM? You familiar with this?
I've heard of it. Yeah. Yes.
Apparently it doesn't write in a spiral. It writes like just in circles, random. I guess. So it can.
Oh. Hmm.
So it can read and write, I guess, at will. I guess more like a. I guess that's more like how a hard drive stores their dots of code or whatever.
Wow, DVD RAM.
Yeah. So I went to eBay, Dale, and I tracked down the cheapest 5-pack of DVD RAMs because these are going up. They stopped making them in 2019, and the scalpers are out there on eBay jacking these prices up.
Are they really?
They're going up. So I got the best deal I could find. I think I paid $17 to get 5 of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So with any luck, I'll be able to transfer all my videotapes to this format and get them onto my computer without doing the crazy hookup that I did before and babysitting it.
Wow. That's fun. I mean, that's fun. So, okay. In my mind, I'm like, well, this is the DVD RAM. I think I'm having flashbacks of like DVD RAM, maybe not necessarily Panasonic, but in those combo drives that used DVD RAM or any DVD drive that could record a video source from your TV. Like I know they were putting out like those DVD recordable DVD players for a while.
Yeah. And there's certain types of DVD-RAM that have a cartridge around the disc.
Oh.
And there's special players that will take the cartridge. And I think there's like it's something about like they were trying to have some physical copyright protection, I think. But yeah. Yeah.
That's fun though. You're playing. You're getting to play.
That's what I do to relax. Honestly, get obsessed with something.
That's really
stupid.
What it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where I'm at.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing more about your journey.
Thank you. I also, at Goodwill, I got a, what do you call it? A multimeter. Is that what they're called? Test like currents, voltage and stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Could use that.
Yeah. I might need one someday. So I got it.
Good.
So yeah, Dale, I just want to bring this up. We don't have to ruminate on it, but it's in the air. Everyone's talking about today. The laughter died. We lost Pee Wee Herman.
Rough day for a lot of people. Yeah.
And, we just finished watching Big Adventure because, You're like, what are we going to do? We're like, let's just throw on Big Adventure. Come on.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
I don't know what it is about that movie. Like, I know I like it. I'll tell people I like that movie, but I laughed for 90 minutes straight, Dale, watching this thing. But God damn this movie. Oh, it's so good. When Francis turns and scowls at Pee-wee.
In the beginning?
Yeah, when Pee-wee won't give him his bike for his birthday. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember in my youth watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what age range, how I was doing it, where I was doing it, but I remember loving the movie and watching it all the time.
Yeah. And also being, like when you're a kid watching this movie, it's scary. Like you're loving it, but there's so much in it. Like, I mean, Large Marge is the classic example of, you know, images that will stick in a child's mind. But it's great watching it as an adult. Cause like you like remember the stuff you found scary and then, but then you're laughing at like all the stuff that you weren't necessarily getting that they're like hinting at in all the comedy that you're getting now as an adult. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It's just, Dale, remember when Pee-wee's hitchhiking with the murderer who broke out of jail. Okay. And they're at that police stop and Pee-wee quickly dressed as a woman. And he's like, she's like, you know, the officer's just, you know, totally into Pee-wee's outfit. Sorry, I'm ruining it. But he says, would you step out of the car, ma'am? And Pee-wee's like, oh, sure, no problem. And Pee-wee's like asking why, like, why did you ask me to step out? And the officer says, oh, I just wanted to get a better look at that cute little outfit you got on there. And then Pee-wee twirls.
He twirls. He's leaning into it. He's leaning into it.
Oh, God. I
love it. Oh, that's great.
Oh, and also I was thinking like the scenes at the end when Pee-wee's watching the movie of his life with Morgan Fairchild and James Brolin playing Pee-wee, like that movie is like the platonic ideal of a Bat and Spider movie. Like if we could watch that movie of James Brolin dressed as Pee-wee Herman fighting ninjas and making out with Morgan Fairchild.
Oh man.
It's God. It's what dreams are made of.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right. That's good. That's good, Chuck. Yeah. That's a good point. You're right.
Yeah. Thank you,
man. Pee-wee.
Yeah. So if you're missing Pee-wee, don't cry.
Yeah.
Don't cry. Just put on a Pee-wee movie and laugh your head off. Because that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah. I got to go back. I got to go back watching it as a big boy. You know, like. Mm. Picking up on the everything else that I missed, you know, all the stuff you can laugh at as an adult.
It's good.
I recently listened to the Mick Garris podcast with the Kyoto Brothers. Are you aware of the Kyoto Brothers?
No, Chuck? I am not.
The Kyoto Brothers, they did the stop motion they did the effects for Large Marge.
Oh wow, cool.
But there are three brothers. They created and did all the effects, and they directed Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Oh. They did Critters, UHF.
Oh, wow.
They did a lot of stuff. Yeah. So it was that's funny. That
did they
I just listened to that.
Did they also do the dinosaur? There's a Pee Wee has a nightmare, and there's a stop motion dinosaur that eats his bike.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if they did that. It didn't come up, but. It's a great question.
Kyoto Brothers. That's
cool. Kyoto Brothers. Out of New York.
Oh, even better.
The New Yorkers. New York. Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah, Dale. Also, like, you know, ruminating on him today, like, all my friends, like, you know, pouring out their love for him. It's like, yeah, like Pee-wee's Playhouse, it was like, it was a show, like it was mass media, but it was like a show for weirdos too. And it was, it felt like my first weird thing, that like media that I took in, you know?
Yeah.
That was like, this is like insane stuff. Like, this is ridiculous nonsense. But it feels like my home.
Right. Somehow it worked. Yeah. You couldn't explain it. If you tried describing it, but it was just off the handle in ways that was special to somebody who was watching it, and it got them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Grotesque and sweet. That's kind of how I thought of Playhouse. And I got a lot of work done. If you're thinking I'm not working, I got a lot of work done. All right. I'm working.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I remember when he's on the train with that hobo and like he's having the best time with him, but then all of a sudden he's like sick of the hobos. Like he goes crazy because the hobo's singing so much. But like it's funny because in the beginning, He's all about this hobo and his craziness and like he's and this celebrating, and then he's so sick of it he jumps off the train.
And then when he finally gets to the Alamo and he's taking the tour that Jan Hooks is giving, and he's just dying to ask her where the basement is, but she's just talking about all the things you can make with corn, and he's just losing his mind, just rolling his eyes at everything.
He's going through the whole tour. Adobe. My God, I haven't seen that movie in 30 years and I still... Adobe.
Oh, God. And then Sweet Simone shows up at the Alamo, the waitress, and Pee-wee's like...
Oh, yeah.
Guess what?
Simone.
They built the Alamo without a basement.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I love Simone. I love Dottie. Gosh. Dottie, like, dream girl. Like, her hair, her outfit, her voice, that Chuck, what's her, she does the voice of Chucky on Rugrats. Incredible. I love Dottie. Gosh, Dale, we're just, should we
we got it.
Get into vertically challenged movies?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Wang would think it's a great idea.
Thank you, Wang Wang. We watched For Your Height Only from 1981, directed by Eddie Neikart. Neikart. Agent 00, he's a short guy, but he is a super spy. He can bed women, he can slide across floors, he can shoot, he can punch, he can kick, he can do it all. He's unstoppable. But when a doctor who has knowledge of how to make an N-bomb comes to the Philippines and is immediately kidnapped by gangsters, they dispatch Agent 00 to solve the case. And he takes, I don't know, an hour and 25 minutes to do it, to get to it. But I guess he does it.
You guess, right.
I think he does it. I don't know. But yeah, is that a fair description?
I think it's perfect. Yeah, it's enough. When it's enough, when the description is enough. My first time here in Manila. When this, I loved your review, by the way.
Oh,
your review when Letterboxd states, "How about another shot of you sliding on the floor, Wang?" Like, I'm the director. He's like a little Swiffer. He's like a little Swiffer dust mop when he pivots. He springs to life using his leg powers to that's his signature move. If 00 had a signature move, that's the signature move.
Is he, do you think he's self-propelling, or is he, are there grips on behind the camera flinging him across the floor?
I think he's self-propelling, but there are grips like holding like a bucket there that so he can propel off of a bucket.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Or like, yeah, or like
a 2x4.
Yeah. 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 There, somebody's there holding that and like make, so if there are grips involved.
Yeah. Okay. Cause sometimes he's going a little, he hits his head on a wall cause he's going too fast, but he always gets the shot.
And then they leave the take in the movie and they make it happen. They make it work.
Yeah, they're making it work. They're professionals.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this, Dale. I don't know. I feel a little, there's a lot of excitement around this movie. And I got to be honest, after experiencing it, I had a little bit of excitement, but I don't know how I feel. I don't know. I think about half hour in, I got my fill. Now there are lots of great lines and performances sprinkled throughout this movie. I mean, the voiceover artists assigned to this project.
Oh man.
Were they
just having a ball?
Oh my God. Yeah. They were, who knows? The boss left for 2 hours and they're like, all right, let's have fun with this one.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the recording booth, you know, just doing their best Bugs Bunny doing Bogart, you know, doing the best Bugs Bunny as Bogart impressions.
There's a lot of dough in this dough. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
that's good.
No, I was like,
right, the gangsters.
Every gangster sounded like, you know, like Bogart or
yeah, they
or
did
like
Joe Bunny doing Bogart
or something.
Right, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But real talk. It overstayed its welcome. I wish it was like 20 minutes long because I felt like I would have got the joke and all the fun in that. But I don't know. I hate to say it. I got kind of bored. It's my truth.
Yeah. Wow. Your truth, Chuck. You know, when I pushed play on this movie, I thought I was elated. The first couple minutes of this movie, I was like, this is going to be the best movie.
yeah. It's a great opening.
That I've seen this year.
Because it's just like, wham. Yeah.
It's a great opening, and you immediately get a feel for the voice actors. Mm-hmm. You get a feel for Wang Wang's voice actor, who, you know, somehow fits. it's almost like they're disrespecting him, but it fits.
Yeah.
The voice actor fits, you know, and you get used to it after a while. But, I hate to say it. I do hate to say it, Chuck, but I'm with you. Mm. Like, I thought I was going to love this movie, but after 20 minutes, I hate to say it was just more of the same, but, you know, every 5 minutes, Wang Wang runs into three guys.
Yeah.
And he takes care of them.
Yeah.
There's always two or three in a little group. And I was kind of like, I got my fill of the plot, and it's like, what is it, 81 minutes long or 90 minutes long or something?
Yeah, it's
crazy
minutes,
like that.
Yeah.
And I got this vibe, and it could happen with Ape 3D that we just watched too. I just didn't put it together, but I got this feeling, and it's probably not exactly how it worked, but I got this like New York Ninja, not quite New York Ninja. Like in my head, this movie existed, and then the voiceover actors made their own plot and dialogue.
Yeah,
to fit the cadence of the speakers.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of
the
that.
Scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of stilted dialogue.
And you just talked about that. And you just talked about in Ape 3D, like. you're just waiting for the guy's or the person's mouth to move on screen, and then the person will start talking again.
That was
all this movie
was. You could be torturing someone with that, with footage of listening to a voiceover artist try and match lips with dialogue that they're not speaking. It's because the dialogue that comes out is so unhuman-like. Like the way everyone speaks, it's insane.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's people don't speak like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder it is almost, I think I do get a little, same with Ape 3D. I get a little like suspicious too, because am I watching like a joke version of this movie? Like, is this really what was put out there? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like someone already got to this and they're goofing on it. And
there were certain lines in this movie that seemed like that.
Yeah.
The line where the lady calls, like the lady says, "You're very petite, like a potato."
"You're such a little guy, though. Very petite, like a potato."
"Yeah, let's go."
Yeah. And look, I laughed out loud. I'm not immune to that.
It was a great line.
It's a fantastic line. But was that a direct translation from the script they were working with? Like a little potato.
I don't know. One of the bosses is showing Wing Wing around and he says, "I like the way you pay attention." I wrote that down. I was like,
I love that line.
During a conversation.
That one killed me. I rewound it because I was like, wait, did he just say that?
It's like, is this Walter Matthau all of a sudden and grumpy old men like speaking?
Was that the cue scene where it feels like a 10-minute scene of the guy going through all the weapons?
I was going to talk about that scene. I looked at the time, an hour worth of movie had passed and it was only 16 minutes into the movie. I remember looking at the time. It was 16 minutes in, and this Q gadget scene.
Oh my God!
Took 15 minutes of that 16 minutes.
Oh wow! Like. Yeah, yeah. I see. I would have been happy if the movie ended there because we got everything. You know, we got the action up front.
We got everything.
We got the 20-minute long Q scene where he's going through all the weapons, and Wang Wang is just staring lifelessly at the guy. As the guy holds up the ring that can detect if Wang Wang's drink is poisoned, but he makes sure to say it's made of gold. We couldn't afford platinum. We're having budget problems. Do you understand that, Wang Wang? Wang Wang doesn't react. And then he goes on to the next weapon.
It's like if they had to get stock footage of a dog staring in the same direction for 5 minutes straight. It's not a still image of Wang Wang. But he is literally not reacting to a darn thing that Q is telling him.
This is the future that AI has for us. It is this same experience when we replace actors with computers. That's what it's going to feel like. It's going to be a lot of Wang Wang staring. That's what it's going to feel like. I mean, I just watched Indiana Jones. You could have replaced... sorry, I won't ruin Indiana Jones.
Okay.
But I mean, the weapon scene. Oh my God, Dale. Wow. Like
so,
like 10 weapons he goes through and the matching of the dialogue and...
And the guy, I don't know how many, there's one tool where he starts speaking about the tool and then he takes a 45 second break, but he's not done speaking about the tool. And then he just starts speaking about the tool again.
Yeah. It's great. It's something else.
It's something to behold, but there's like this fatigue.
Yeah.
And it's not a fatigue like, I can't explain it because it's not a fatigue because you're watching a high energy try hard comedy. The material is very, you know, it's on the nose, it's serious, to a degree. I mean, it's funny, but it's like 00 is a secret agent and he is fighting these bad guys. But the plot is so paper thin that you can only take so much of that before you're just fatigued at seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah, like the whole middle hour, it feels like you're just watching an endless loop of them shooting in the same apartment building, but in different rooms, of Wang Wang going through,
yes,
beating up guys, making out with a woman, jumping out the window, and then he just does it again. It feels like it's just...
It feels like that.
It's not advancing the plot. He keeps getting new girls that he's protecting. They die or get kidnapped. They go away. He gets another girl partner. I think that's what was happening. Because I was getting very confused as there to like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember one was named Irma. I remember Irma dies at the end and Wang Wang screams Irma when she's bleeding on the beach.
Yeah.
But Dale, I also... But yeah, this whole middle section, it sucks because it's like, it's got a lot going for it, but there's nothing pulling you through. Like you're like, I love this character. I want to follow him. But it's like the stuff he's doing, it just feels like it has nothing to do with the, like helping the kidnapped guy. Like he's just dispatching gangsters for 45 minutes.
Right. Yes.
To what end?
And right. It's almost like they had their golden goose. They had Wang Wang.
Yeah.
So they're like, we have this whole apartment building. Let's just have different scenes of him kicking ass, like you said, in different different rooms. Yeah. And let's try to make a movie out of the footage we get.
I loved watching him run up and down those stairs, Dale, and kicking guys in the face. It was great.
I genuinely loved how his combat prowess was taken seriously.
Yeah.
Like there were some moments where he obviously uses his small stature to his advantage in a fight, but also he is the good guy, so he obviously has more skills and can overpower these regular size guys with his talent. I loved how it was all taken for serious.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It reminded, I've been watching a lot of professional wrestling lately, and a lot of the action scenes reminded me of this because since Wang Wang is so small, all the other guys, they have to do a lot of selling, you know, there's a lot of work on their part to do. Like when Wang Wang will touch a guy, basically just touch him on the thigh. But that's enough for him to go flying off a ledge, you know? I appreciate how much that guy is putting in to sell the move.
Chuck, when they had to take that bump.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
They took the bump.
From Wang Wang.
Yeah. Man.
You're right. I mean, and then he busts out like a katana. There's a katana scene at one point, and he's pretty kick-ass with a katana, even though... You know, it's like the other guys just open their guts up for attack. They're just like, here's my gut, you know, attack it. But I liked it. And I liked how, you know, the women were selling their, the women were selling that he is a charismatic figure, even though, I mean, this guy has... Like, I'm talking T-800 levels of dialogue. Schwarzenegger in the first Terminator movie has the same amount of dialogue as Wang Wang, the main star of this movie.
Yeah.
But I like how they're just like, come make out with me. Like, climb up on top of me and my upper third of my body, be with me.
I love.
And then go kill some more bad guys.
I love when he gets the ride from the hot black girl and she's like, She's dropping Wang Wang off, and she's like, "Oh, it was my pleasure," and gives him a big kiss. And Wang Wang, the only audio they put in for Wang Wang was an
It was a pleasure meeting you, 00.
It's the weirdest exchange in the movie. Oh my God. Yeah, and then there's the whole... There's the one girl who has this insane English accent, and she's her and Wang Wang are on the lounging on the bed, and she's like,
maybe. But are you a sexual animal?
I don't know.
I'm crazy about you, Agent 00. Why, I don't know. Maybe it's the way you strut your stuff. You know, sex is like tequila. Take one sip and you're a goner.
Shall we get it on?
Yes, darling, bear your bard.
Shall we have sex? That's basically what he says, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that scene where there is a Wing Wang is inside of a taxi cab that's not moving. And then he gets out of the taxi cab and the cab driver's like, I'm sorry I ran out of gas. You're going to have to walk the rest of the way. Yeah. It's like, and then Wang Wang's like, you drats, I'm going to have to walk on my little feet. He says, I'm going to have to walk on the rest of the way on my little feet. What is the point of this scene? Why is there a taxi cab? Yeah. Why does it run out of gas? Why, like, is the footage because they got the footage of Wang Wang getting out of a taxi cab? So then they had to get some dialogue to say, well, the cab's not moving, so let's make something up. Like,
yes. Yeah, there's an element of that to this where it feels like they shot a lot of footage without a script in there.
Yeah.
Like you said, New York Ninja, there's the feeling of someone making something in the editing booth, you know, trying to make it all make sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Right. And I mean, good for them. Like yeah. they did it. They legit did it, you know, with what they had. And maybe that, you know, like maybe they don't know what they were saying. Maybe there's not a translation. Maybe there's no transcript of what the, you know, yeah. what the original Tagalog, you know, dialect, like what they were saying in Filipino. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's true.
But
yeah, maybe they just sold it to America and this is like the version the American distributor made. Mr. Giant. Did we ever see Mr. Giant? I can't remember.
Yes, Mr. Giant was at the end and he was the other small guy.
Okay. There was another small guy in this?
Yes, that's okay. The very last fight.
I have a confession. This has never happened.
Here we go.
But I got so bored. I was watching this on YouTube and I put it on 1.5 speed for the last half hour. I was like, all right, I'm going to buzz through this.
My God.
And it worked for the most part, but it didn't help. It didn't help my attention because I kept looking at my phone and I only got bits and pieces of the ending, Dale. So
I can't necessarily blame you. It's, you know, I'm shook. I'm shook with this news, but also it is a movie where if it could get lost in a tab.
Yeah.
While you're doing other things.
Yeah. Like if I wasn't watching it,
it's an hour and a half long.
Yeah. Like I don't know how long I would have lasted if I wasn't watching it for the show. I probably would have gotten the joke and been like, yeah, I'm going to go watch Linus Tech Tips.
You nailed it. I think if it wasn't for the show. I mean, I love the concept. Mm-hmm. I keep saying that. I love the concept. I love
there's a lot to love.
What they did.
There's a lot to
it's
love.
Just, it was just fatiguing. It's just fatiguing.
Yeah.
For an hour and a half.
It's like when they make, you know, not every Saturday Night Live adaptation is a home run, you know, because you're stretching a funny skit out to 2 hours. It's not going to work every time, you know. Maybe they shouldn't have made Coneheads. I don't know if that's.
I was trying in my head. I was trying to think of like one example.
Night at the Roxbury.
Coneheads is a great example.
Coneheads.
Yeah, I like Night at the Roxbury, but yeah,
I don't. I've never seen it, but I don't know. Oh yeah, Dale. Let's dip into that mailbag. See if we have anything in there. Actually,
I'm gonna reach on in and see. I think we got a voicemail. 315-544-0966. That's the official Bat and Spider hotline. batandspiderpod@gmail.com. That'll give you access to sending us an email.
You know who's slamming his head against the wall right now because we didn't mention a certain SNL movie in our SNL movie section of the show?
I think we both knew.
I think we both knew not to say
what trouble
that movie.
Be like a Candyman, Bloody Mary. God. Oh yeah, we got two voicemails this week, Chuck.
Oh, lovely. Wait a second. All right, I really got to watch Coneheads because the director of Steve Barron directed the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which I love. That's a totally different beast, but maybe.
I think that's, and then what? Then he didn't do anything, right? That was it.
Well, he also did that movie Electric Dreams, which I've almost picked for this show. Maybe I'll pick it this week.
All along the Western Front. Electric Dreams? Yeah. You're going to distract me.
I'm so sorry. This is my favorite time. I love when you go to the mail segment and then I start talking about other stuff. It's my favorite bit.
Right. And I'm just like I'm hovering over the play button, just trying to get to the next segment, you know, the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, he did that Merlin television movie. Do you remember that? Sam Neill.
Oh, the one with Sam Neill? Yeah. He did that. Whoa.
Man, they were, Rucker Hauer was in that.
That was a huge marketing push. Yeah,
they promoted the hell out of it.
Merlin was like, massive. Was that the last big marketing push? Can we be honest here?
Yeah, for a TV movie. I mean, it was either Merlin or Stephen King's Shining. I remember that got a lot of
attention. Yeah.
Tommyknockers, that got a lot. But 1998 for Merlin. I mean, they just missed the window of like Lord of the Rings mania.
That was huge.
You make that thing, you know, 3 years later, we'd be talking about Merlin right now. Everyone would be talking about it. They'd be doing the remake of it.
They'd be remaking it right now. You know?
God damn.
As I said, we have two voicemails this week.
Yeah.
Oh, we just got an email in too. Yes.
Are we watching Merlin on Tubi, by the way?
Oh my God.
All 182 minutes of it.
Shit.
Okay, sorry.
We might have to. I'm gonna try again. Here we go. I'm gonna play the voicemails first, and I think we just got in right in on the wire. We got an email just this second.
Tubi.
Wow.
God, he doesn't miss a week.
You could set your watch to this Tubi caller 100% of the time.
Inconsistent if it's the same person. Different every time.
Right. Right. Maybe they forget how they do it each week to week, or maybe it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on purpose. Oh, next one. I'm going to push play.
Hey, Bazat and Fida. This is Corey from Austin, Texas, calling for the final episode of Hot 8 Summer. You guys saved the best for last. This one is a total favorite of mine, but I didn't call to talk about this. I thought, what a better time to talk about pornography and working in a pornography store than during the last episode of Hot 8 Summer.
Yes.
And I wanted to start the story with a little context. At my porn store, you had something called a shift tape. That's where you put a tape into the VCR to record your shift. I don't know if you guys ever worked at a job like that and you would take it out at the end. Anyway, we also had a live feed to the boss's house and also a live feed to our warehouse. If the boss was in the warehouse, he could watch us work. And then also he could watch us from home and call us while things were happening in the store. And he could evaluate your performance, your retail performance, obviously.
Hate it. Anyway, I hate this.
That being said, I wanted to actually share a story with you from another friend of mine who worked at a different porn store.
Wow.
And they also had shift tapes.
This world.
I think it's very common for porn stores to have those. Anyway, he was a very slow day at the porn store where he was working.
Yeah.
And he was very bored. At this time, he had long hair and he had a long ponytail. And he was so bored, he was trying to amuse himself by like putting his ponytail on his left shoulder and flipping his head real fast to his right shoulder to try to swing the ponytail from side to side and try to look at it and catch it. He also literally balanced a broom on his hand for about 10 to 15 minutes, trying to, you know, balance the the stick end of the broom on your hand behind the counter as he walked around with it. Then his shift got a little more exciting because he was robbed. He was fine. Everything was okay. No shots were fired. He survived. He wasn't even hurt. The kicker of the story is that the cops and his boss got to watch the shift tape to get evidence for the robbery. But before they could get to the robbery part, they got to see Roger flipping his ponytail around and trying to balance a broom behind the counter. Anyway, kind of silly. Amazing. Not really. Totally porny, but I thought I'd share. All right. Love you guys. Hot Date Summer was almost a success. Oh. No, it was a success. Just kidding. The artwork was great. All the guest artists, excellent work. Chuck, I'm looking forward to your artwork coming back, but I'm glad you got a break. All right. Dale, you are a gentleman and a scholar. I love you guys. Take care.
Whew. Wow. Covers all his bases. Corey. Everyone gets a compliment.
Yeah, he's good like that. Yeah. Man of the people. That's what working customer service at the porn store will do. It'll make you like keep that kind of stuff in mind when you're just trying to have conversations and addressing people in the day to day.
Exactly.
You know?
God, I love that. That's a great story. The flipping of the hair, the bouncing of the broom, and then you get robbed, and then you got to sit there with the cops and the boss going over the tape.
Yeah, that's that is typical Dale right there. That would definitely happen to me. You know?
Closest that ever happened to me is I worked at a bookstore for a few months. And this is back when, I guess it still has. Remember Gmail when you first got like GChat? So like if you were logged into your Gmail on a computer, you could see if someone was logged in because of the GChat icon. You know, it would be like a green dot or whatever. My boss, apparently that's how my boss was logged into their Gmail and saw that I was logged into my Gmail at work. And I'm like, hope you're not working, or I hope you're not sitting there chatting. It's like, but I was working, but I was just like, I just had my Gmail open. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Turd.
Sickening.
Jeez Louise. Act right, boss.
Come on, boss.
You know? Act friggin' right. All right.
Okay.
And the email we got in off the wire, Foxtrot Bebop, author of the Hot Ape Summer theme song. For Your Eyes Only, the subject says, "Hey, Bat and Spider, Lord, where did we go wrong? If Bat and Spider existed in the 80s and invented podcasts, maybe the Wang Wang floored slide would be as visually referenced as the Akira motorcycle slide. We let Mr. Wang down, Foxtrot." Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't help. And maybe, you know, Wang Wang's stylist insisted, but I couldn't help that poor Wang Wang had to wear this double-breasted suit that constantly like puffed up when he lifted up his arms.
Yeah.
It would bunch up in front of him, and it was a terrible situation. It looks terrible.
Yeah. Why couldn't they put him in like a turtleneck or something? Something just a little more like thinner material, you know? Imagine like a black turtleneck with a gold chain. He would have looked great.
Oh my God. And those rings.
Oh yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Come on.
I love.
He wasn't sexual enough as it is.
I know. I loved every time he was sitting at a table at a restaurant with like the table at his nose and the drinks covering his view. Good.
Yeah. That one guy he was talking to near the end of the movie or near the first 16 minutes, who knows at one point in the movie, but somebody says, "You're like a miniature Bond, but that's in the movies."
And they spend like 5 minutes saying how this is not a James Bond movie because this is real life.
Right. This is real life. Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Maybe I love this movie.
Maybe we're just being too hard on it because we declared we were both miserable before recording.
That's true.
And we're taking it out on this film.
Yeah. It's been an emotional week, Dale. Lots of things are bringing me to tears the last few days. Just Wang Wang wasn't one of them.
One of the score tunes in this was put me in a trance. Really? I loved it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, most of it is rip off Bond music. Like it's almost one to one.
Oh yeah. It's like, what do they change the pitch, Chuck? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They change the something?
Octave up or down? I don't know.
Now, Chuck, we have to pick next week's movie, I think. That's what we do.
Amazing.
That's what we do.
God, I love picking movies, Dale. I really do. You know what?
It's fun.
Dale, I'm going to throw caution to the wind, and I'm going to pick Electric Dreams from 1984.
Wow.
Not our usual type of movie, but it is.
Just like you said you would.
It seems like it's a romantic sci-fi comedy from 1984 that I don't think, I mean, I'd never heard of it before, like a couple of years ago, whenever I put this on my list. I don't think it was that famous. So I'm gonna say it counts as a Bat and Spider movie, unless you veto me. Do you veto it?
No, I don't know anything about it, so I don't veto it.
Okay.
The most unusual triangle in the history of love, a boy, a girl, and a computer. It's enough for us. Yeah. Max Caulfield, the guy from Grease 2, is in this. CC Yoli. Max Caulfield alert. Max Caulfield alert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bud Cort. Virginia Madsen. Giorgio Moroder. I think he does the soundtrack and he appears in the movie. So it's going to be huge. Yeah. And also it seems like this is a Richard Branson. If you're fans of moguls out there, this seems to be a Richard Branson Virgin Films production of some sort.
Hello. My name is Giovanni Giorgio.
Oh my God. Okay. The writer of this movie. Strange name, but it stuck in my head. I was like, I know this name.
The father of disco, by the way, Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah. The writer of this movie, Rusty Lamarande.
Yeah.
Also wrote Captain EO.
Whoa.
He wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth, which is a strange Albert Pyun movie. Pyun directed, starring Emo Phillips and Kathy Ireland. Maybe we should pick that.
Oh my God. Maybe we have our next movie. We already have our next movie. Damn.
But let's cleanse the palate and watch a nice 80s rom-com, Dale.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We deserve it.
Yeah. And Steve Barron. I love my boy Steve Barron. I want to see what he's up to in 1984.
And you deserve that.
Thank you.
Folks, go to batandspider.com, get yourself a Discord invite so you can play along with us in the Discord. And check out our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider. If there's any confusion, if you donate to us through Ko-fi, you will get a private RSS feed you could plug into your pod app. If anybody out there has not done that, and you are seeing blocked posts in Ko-fi because you haven't donated recently, that doesn't block you from what's available, because the private RSS feed that you get in your initial email will unlock everything for you. So don't think of the Ko-fi page as a source of content. Think of our private RSS feed as your source of content. If there's any issues, though, you could email the show at batandspiderpod@gmail.com or hit us up on Discord, and we'll get it all sorted out for you. I just wanted to clear that up because there was somebody who reached out to me recently, and we're just confused because, you know, if you donated to our Ko-fi last year, Chuck, all the recent posts would appear as locked on the Ko-fi page, but that doesn't lock you out. Yeah. There's no content on the Ko-fi page that's exclusive to the Ko-fi page, so.
It's hard, you know, it's hard to find something that fit our needs like that.
Right, right, exactly. Ko-fi does a good enough job.
Yeah.
And until next time, we will, until next time when we watch Electric Dreams.
Electric Dreams. Dale, I'm counting on you for your computer advice or computer expertise when we watch Electric Dreams. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Brush up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm going to step it up. I love taking my work home with me.
Damn.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Shit just got real.
Everybody, we love you.
We love you. Good night.
Bye.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.